Back to the Basics series, and we started, so I want to just kind of a quick review what we've done. Back to Basics, we started off with what I thought was a really boring message, and everybody loved it. Orthodoxy. What is orthodoxy? It's the beliefs that make the necessary components of theology that make absolutely bottom line, big picture, what make a Christian. How can I say I'm a Christian? And then there are sort of, that's the big umbrella, and then we've gotten into smaller umbrellas under that to include what are some primary things that we need to know about what it is to be Protestant, as opposed to in contrast to our Catholic friends. So there's big picture. I'm an Orthodox Christian. I'm a Protestant. And then last week, we looked at what it is to be a Baptist. What are the Baptist distinctives? With a little bit of history thrown in there. Somebody told me, so I've been Baptist my whole life. I had no idea why. So I'm glad that if you've missed those messages, they're online and ready for you to listen and catch up. Today, we're going to do a little bit different. We're going to talk big picture. What is it when we say a church? What is a church? What is a church? What is a church? That's what we're going to look at in just a moment. What is a church? Matthew 16. You can begin turning there. We have it on the screen for you. Matthew 16, verses 18 through 19. One of the great passages in God's Word. Before I read it, if I could pray just to bless the time, and then we'll be ready. Spaghetti's cooking. Okay, spaghetti's cooking. Spaghetti sauce is cooking. And you're going to get hungry. I can tell you, right? You're going to get hungry. But you have to hold that back. You have to hold that back, because I'm going to preach minimum 40 minutes. You know me. So I'm getting hungry. I'll try to be fast. Okay, Joanne, don't panic. It won't be an hour. It won't be more than an hour. Don't panic. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Lord, we love you. It's an honor to be in this place with these people that love you and seeking to learn your word and to be students of the book. Lord, it's a privilege to be here today. We're not weary in well-doing to be here. We're glad to be here. This is not a trial. This is the joy of our week. And so we're thankful to meet in this place with these people. We ask that you would pour blessing over everybody that came today, that you would honor them and bless them for their commitment to you. God, that you would speak into our hearts, and even in this more teachy sort of sermon series, we pray that you'd convict us, change us, give us ears to hear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Matthew 16, great passage. You know the story. Jesus is in Capernaum, and I preached this, I believe, here. He's in Capernaum, and he's at literally a cave. And this cave was well known. It's well known today in Capernaum to be this big opening in the earth, and they called it the gates of hell. On the base of this cave were temples constructed for the worship of Pan, the goat god, with temple prostitutes ready to worship there in these centers of worship, godless culture. And that's what Jesus, I believe, is looking down at this gates of hell, this culture at the base of which were false god worship and idolatry, not seen today. Animal sacrifices in the name of religion, Jesus looks down at this and he says this, and I think it's interesting. He says, I also say to you that you are, verse 18, Matthew chapter 16, that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, the Catholics interpret this to mean, as you well may know, that it's upon Peter and his apostolic authority that will continue down through a papal pope reign. We don't believe that. There are different interpretations, may I suggest one, and that is that Jesus is being quite literal, that he's looking at this landscape of a culture, and this rock, this gates of hell, this area, and he's saying that it's upon this rock that he's going to be build my church. It's upon this culture that God is going to come with the influence of the church, the body of Jesus. He's going to come in upon this culture, this wicked culture, this rock. It says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not overpower it. Verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. What is the church? We're going to get a little bit more detailed, but I wanted to say this and look at this passage as we open. The church is the influencing body, the influence that God has to accomplish things on this earth. That's what the church is. Whatever we bind here is bound in heaven. We're the influence. We're the ones that accomplish things. We're the body of people, the agency, if you will, of influence that God has. And that's it. There isn't the plan B. We are it. We're the church. God doesn't have, it's not the government. God knows it's not the United States of America that is going to save the world. It's the church. The church is the influencing body. The church, God's word says clear. It says very clearly, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We have the keys. The church has the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What's the kingdom of heaven? It's the way God operates. It's the way that God operates in the universe. His perfect will. We have that. The keys to that. And whatever we bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed on heaven. Sounds like we have some authority here. The enemy has no authority here. The state has no authority here. God has authority here. And we have keys, and we have ability. This is the church. We're the church. The church is not pews. The church is not chairs. Church is not carpet color. Church is not gymnasium, no gymnasium. The church is the people. We're the church. We have power and authority. And as we look at this, what is the church? I want to just challenge us right up front to sort of consider God's word here. It says, Jesus says something I think pretty impressive. He says, I'm going to build my church on this rock. The church is going to be built on a culture that is walking right now to the park, cutting their grass, wasting their day. The church is going to be built on a lost culture. Unfortunately, the way churches grow today isn't by reaching lost culture, it's by borrowing from other churches. That's why. You know what the church is also? It's 3,000 churches in America will close this year. 3,000 churches. in America will close in 2016. Does that sound like what Jesus is saying here? It says the gates of hell are not going to overpower the church, which is okay. We're always playing defense. You notice the church, as long as I've been around, the church, growing up in church, always playing prevent defense, right? We're always doing this. You watch football, it's always playing a prevent defense. We don't want to make any mistakes. We don't want to lose ground. We just kind of keep the lead. You know what I'm saying? The church looks more like what the Cavs did this year. Coming back from behind, winning three games in a row in unbelievable fashion, and nobody's going to stop it. And so what the gates of hell, it's not that we're playing defense and saying, okay, gates of hell are not going to be able to take enemy ground on the church, or we're going to hold the ground. No, it's that the church is, here's the gates of hell, and the gates of hell are not going to be able to stop the force that is the church taking enemy ground. Does that look like the church that you know today? I have to say that we just don't have a church like what Jesus is talking about here, where the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the force that is a vibrant church operating in the power of God. And what the church is always trying to make sure that this bill gets passed, and trying to make sure that this happens, make sure that we don't lose people, make sure that, you know, just to barely try to hold on, make budget. I'll just be honest. The last 7 months has been like, I'm just going to make sure we make budget. Got to make sure we make budget. Got to make sure we make budget. We should never be concerned about having to make budget. There's plenty of money out here to make budget. We don't need to decrease our budget. We need to increase our giving. We need to increase our sacrifice. That's the way that the church becomes the church that Jesus is talking about here. Are you with me today? And we need to watch our budget. We need to be more sacrificial. The good news is that's just the opener. That was just the opener. I hadn't even started. That was just a warm-up. We're just now getting into it. I was thinking, try to describe the church just using the Bible. If we were to describe the church just using the Bible, just not what you, not like, when you come into church, there's an organ, there's a piano, you know, forget about that. Try to in your own mind today, try this little exercise that we're doing right now. Try to describe the church in your mind, just using what God's Word says about what church is. You know, the Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, came down, descended upon everybody. Everybody starts speaking in tongues. Remember that? And the church begins. Great. So we know that. So church is something that the Holy Spirit is kind of overseeing, and we know that about the church. Let me just kind of throw out four things today. And on top of what we've already said, because I think what our goal needs to be is if we're a church that's operating the way that God wants us to operate, then I think that we ought to be seeing results like God promises. We ought to be seeing a church that the enemy is unable to withstand the force of the church at work in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? So these are essential, four little things, I think, essential. These are basics. Basics. What is the church? And maybe these are some of the things. Four things. Maybe you came up with some of these four things. Number one, what is church? Number one, church is defined by, this is going to sound so cheesy, but love. 1 Corinthians 13. What is a church? We talked about this when we did our love series. What was the name of the song? The Cheers theme song, where everybody knows your name. I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to sing it. Who am I kidding? I'm going to sing it. No, I'm not going to sing it. I'm just kidding. But remember, dum, da, 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 dum, dum. Remember that? It's like, are we, to me, is the church defined by love? Jesus says, 1 Corinthians 13, major passage, but this is a more important passage in terms of the church. Jesus says that that they will know that they have love for me because of the love. In other words, the world will see that we love God because the love that we have for one another. One another, who's that? The church. The church. So love is an important element of a good church. I mean, it just is what it is. I was talking to Clara? I think she's working on this. She was talking about today. We're talking about Kroger. I did not recognize this, and I was at Kroger last night, and I don't remember this. But in Kroger, they want to be the friendliest store in Tiffin. Simple. And so one of the things that they're doing in Kroger, pick up on this if you will, next time you go to Kroger, is that they introduce themselves to cashier. Have you noticed that, Lois? I haven't. Okay, I have not picked up on this. But they say, hey, my name is Clara. Okay, so I knew that because of the name tag, but they want to make sure that you knew. And she said they actually have to also introduce the bagger. So, hi, my name is Clara, and this is Josie. Sooner or later, they'll start introducing the management team. It's a manager going right by and saying hello to the manager. You know, for me, and I've been to a lot of unfriendly churches, and one thing that I think we have here that is special is that this is a friendly church. It's a friendly church. But we need to be loving to one another and loving to those that come in the door. There's a way around that. We have to be a loving church. The church is not hateful. The church should not be hateful. Now, there are things that we need to say in love, but not hateful. We don't need soapboxes. We need to love people. We need to love people. That's easy, right? Point number one. I feel like that's not even preaching. It's too easy. Point number one. All right. Point number two, the message. What's special about the church? The church has a message. The church has a message that we have to get out. We've got a message. It's a message about Jesus. It's a message about how Jesus can change people's lives. It's a message about how Jesus died on the cross for your sin so that you can have a great relationship with the God of the universe. That's the message. That's the good news. The church, different than any other group, is the church, and one unique thing is the message. And the message is so great that we've got to get it out. In fact, we're commanded, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, just down the page here from Matthew 16. We talked about this the other day. Go therefore, chapter 28, verse 18. Let's say verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Then he dispenses that authority to us. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What are we're talking about the gospel. Go therefore and make disciples with what? The gospel message. And we preach this message to all nations, right? To all the nations. We teach them to observe all the things that God commanded. That's the message. Acts 1:8, before Jesus went up to heaven, he said, go and preach the gospel, right? Go to do it in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world, right? So it's a message that has to go out. It has to go out. No question about it. You know, we're doing this mission trip to Honduras 1 week from Tuesday. Going on a Honduras. Why in the world would we do that? I'm so happy. I don't know where we're going next year, but I have a feeling like there's going to be 12 people come back from this trip. They're going to want to go back to Honduras next year. Go somewhere. And I was talking to Jane this morning. Somebody let it out the bag that Jane wants to go on a mission trip. She's 70-something years old. No, you're 50-something years old. How old are you? 51. 51. Jane said, I want to go on a mission trip. I said, Jane, you're going. You're going. I've already wrote you down. She's on the list. Why would we do that? Because we have a message. Because we have a message. And that message is important, and it's important to share it in Honduras, and it's important to share with my neighbors. We have a message. And consequently, the real reason we have that sheet. Where, do you have one? Do you have one? Come on, Betty. This pressure's on. Here it is. All right, here it is. We have this sheet so that you can pray. You put this on your refrigerator, put it by your nightstand. And you can pray for everybody that's going on this trip. I forgot to say, Yudan Ma, that is Megan. Okay, but that's her official name, Yudan Ma. So when you're praying for this list every day when we're gone, but you can already begin to pray, God, prepare their hearts, prepare their hearts. I'm excited. I've been on, this is like my 15th mission trip overseas, so many mission trips. And I'm excited about this one. Why? Because Mike is going. I'm excited about it. Mike is going. I want the God of the universe to get a hold of Micah's heart. I think Micah's got talent coming out of his ears. What's he going to do? He's got to use it for the Lord. That's what God gave it to you for. And I want God to call him to something great. Where does he do that? He won't do it here, likely. What he'll do is he'll take him to a foreign field. He'll see a tremendous need. The Holy Spirit, he'll put all his electronics away. We're not having electronics. We're going to pay attention to what God's doing in our life. We're going to hear from God. Then I want God to say something to my son. That's why we're doing mission trips. And next week, you'll have an opportunity to give again to this mission trip, because we need money. The more money we have, the more ministry we'll be able to do. We need to pray. Why? So that Mike is listening. We're not going to go to experience a third world country and eat all kind of different food, and that'll be fun. We're going to have a great time. We're going because I want our kids to and young adults. We have a lot of people that are in their 20s that are going. We need to hear from God. We need to hear from God. So we can share the message, but I'm so burdened about this. I don't want to pressure Mike into ministry. It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody, but we need young people that will say, I'm going to spend my life for Jesus. I'm going to give my life to Jesus, whatever it takes. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to serve Jesus. It's important. There's a world that's lost. I don't want us to play church. We have opportunity right here to pray, to make sure that what happens on this trip is an investment of time, energy, and effort that we see a return on. Why? We have a message. We have a message. Was number three. What is the church? It's a group of gathered people. It's a group of gathered people. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And in fact, I love it. But encourage one another. Encourage one another. You know, some of you guys don't come. I don't have anybody in mind. I'm just sort of going to just say a blank statement here. Some of you come. Sometimes you don't come. Sometimes you come. Sometimes you don't come. I get it. Health, vacation, I get all that. I understand. I totally understand. But see, when you don't come, you know what you're not doing? You're not encouraging anybody when you're home. Hello? How can you encourage the saints and use your gifts and abilities for the saints when you're at home? You should not forsake the assembling together, so at the bare minimum, you can encourage someone. Minimum. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the custom of some, but encouraging one another. I can't tell you how many times, really, it's a true story, where I'll see somebody I hadn't seen in a while, and it's such an encouragement. Have you ever had that happen? You know, you've been at church, and you see somebody that hadn't been in 6 weeks, and you see them, it's like, so good to see you. What an encouragement. That's what we gather to encourage. And because it's commanded, and because that's the way it happened all in church history. They met Sunday morning. We gather. We're a congregation. That means we congregate. We get together. I'm telling you, one of my favorite movies of all time, nobody knows this in this room. Nobody knows this in this room that I know of, other than Kelly. I don't think anybody knows this. I don't know if it was a crush. I ain't going to say that. But I liked Haley Mills movies when I was growing up. Carrie, that wasn't the funny part. Carrie's laughing. What even funny? Was it a joke? I loved Haley Mills movies. Does anybody know who Haley Mills is? Only some of you do. Some of you don't. All right, Haley Mills. Like, Zach, do you have any idea who Haley Mills is? Zach has no idea. Lucas, do you know who Haley Mills is? Oh, okay. And my favorite, one of my favorite movies was the original, not the new one. Okay, Parent Trap. I love that. I love that movie. I memorized that movie when I was a kid. I've watched it 100 times. I'm telling you. I know I'm totally man card. I have to give up my man card or whatever happens. I get it. I still love that movie, and I love the song. Anybody know what song? Let's Get Together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why don't you and I combine? Let's get together. What do you say? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. I love that song. I love that song. I love that movie. I love any Haley Mills movie until she started getting older. The young Haley Mills. I don't know why I said that. I said all that to say, I don't have any idea why I said that. It wasn't planned. I just know, let's get together. Yeah, I thought about the movie, look at the song. Let's get together. That's why I said it. Let's get together. You and I combine. Let's get together. What do you say? We can have a swinging time. We'll be a crazy team. Love that. So cool. What a great tune. You know, this church is going to grow and be the most healthy if we like and love one another. If we want to be with one another. And that means that, and I get it, because some people in this room are just annoying. I understand. I don't want to be around that person. Hey, listen. Get to know that person. Get to know that person. Get to love that person. Find out what, you know what I do. I learned this long time ago. You know, if I have nothing else to talk about, I talk about food. Everybody likes food. Let's see if we got something in common with food. Let's talk about movies. Let's talk about something. But I try to, as a habit, make conversation with people about things they like. And I find that if I do that, I wind up liking what they like. I wind up getting excited about what they like. I wind up favoring what they do over what I do. I find that being the kind of person that likes people requires that you have to get to know people. You can't know caricatures. Caricatures aren't the real person. You have to get to know people. So if I could just say, with much love as I have in my heart, and we've seen it in ministry over 15 years, I don't like that person. Have you gotten to get to know them? No, I haven't really talked to them that much. Don't tell me you don't like them. You don't know them. I don't have ears to hear. You tell me that there's somebody that gets on your nerves, you don't like or whatever, and you've never gotten to know them. You know very superficial things about people, but you don't know them. You don't know their heart. Shame on you. Shame on you. That's just my own personal opinion. How do you get to love people? You love people by getting to know them, by spending time with them. Paul says, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. So when we gather together, it's part of love, right? When we gather together, we say, man, I'm glad to be here. People of all different kinds, all kind of different kind of people, different kind of personalities, and that's good. That's good. No problem. All right. You guys receiving this today? Okay, goody, goody. Love, we have a message. We're gathered people, and we equip. And this is important. This is point number four, equipping. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm gonna run through this really fast. Ephesians chapter 4, equipping. Here's what he says, verse 11. I'll just jump to verse 11 real quick. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, some as teachers. Why? Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints... For the work of service, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Jesus, that's the church, the building up. And I've found that I'm equipping. I've found that I'm actually this week, I'm a little convicted about it. I don't know that we do a lot of equipping in this church because equipping is not the same as recruiting. We try to recruit people, but how well do we pour into people so that we teach people how to do it better so that we're pouring into people? We don't want to recruit anybody. What we want to do is that you use your gifts and abilities to say, hey, why don't you get involved in this? I want to teach you how this is done. What we want to do is not recruit. We're always having trouble recruiting. And I think the problem is, how many of you ever noticed that? This occurred to me this week, like a light bulb. Churches always have problems recruiting. Always. And the reason is, I think, is because people aren't equipped to do the work, so of course they're going to be not very excited about getting recruited. If we equipped people, then we'd have people. If we train and equip, then you have people. Recruiting is a poor substitute. It just occurred to me this week. It's like, I think the reason why we have a problem recruiting is because, and it's so simple, right? It's like, duh. The reason why we have trouble recruiting is because people aren't prepared, and they're just not going to do what they're not prepared to do. And the problem is, we shouldn't recruit. We should equip. We need to do better. Elder board, we need to do better. How do we mobilize and equip people? So we equip people. We equip people for the sake of ministry. We equip. For the building up, Paul says, of the body of Jesus. So we equip people. So I'm training you, right? I'm training you. I'm going to train you to be equipped for ministry. I'm training, I'm pouring into, that's discipleship, isn't it? I'm pouring into you. I'm not going to get a replacement. I'm going to pour in and teach and train and equip. And I'm going to pour in to people. And then when that happens, at the same time, I'm building up the body. So God's word says, so that until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. To a mature man. So we equip so that we can be mature. Not immature. I'm out on immature church. Baby problems. High school and preschool difficulties. Don't need that. We need mature believers. We're building up to maturity. So four things. I'm going to close here. Love, a message. We're gathered. We're equipping, training, sending out, not recruiting. And I just want to ask you, we look at those four things, just four things, and we could list 10. We could list 20 things. You could list 20 things that I didn't think of. Or would you say, and this is just an honest gut check here, that our church is good at those four things? I'm not throwing stones, and we may be better at some than others. But are we doing great at equipping? Are we doing good at loving? Are we doing good at sending the message out, right? And so what we're talking about is, are we doing well? Are we experiencing that, right? Do we have a loving community of believers? Would you say that that's true? Hopefully you say, yeah, I think I'm pretty loving. Okay, good for you. Good for you. Pour into others. Pour into others. Show them how to be loving. Okay, are we doing that well? Are we doing the message thing well? Are we going out into the streets and sharing our faith with people? I'm talking about just you individually. Do you know your neighbor's name, and have you shared your faith with them? We gathering like we should, doing it in the spirit of love, and I love being here. Because I have to tell you, I do. I'm just honestly, I can honestly tell you, I love being here. I lose sleep most Saturday nights. There's some that I dread, but most Saturday nights I fall asleep in anticipation of being back here with you on Sunday morning. I love it. This is my honest truth. I can tell you right now, I love being here. I love it. I love the ministry God's called me to. I love you. I love being here. And I want more people because I have no idea how you feel, but I can tell you that's how I feel. And I want people to be like, I can't wait. I got here at 7:10 this morning. 10 after 7. I was like, can't wait for people to come in. We'll talk to people. See Jane come in. Oh, Jane's here. See Dave come in. He's ready to cook his bologna. Are we anticipating gathering, and are we equipping people? Are we equipping people? And I think that if we're going to be a successful church, success will mean that we're doing all those things better. Success will mean that we're doing all those things better. Growth means that we're growing in our capacity to do all those things. Why do we want to grow? We want to grow because the more we grow, the more capacity we have to love more people. Why do we want to grow? The bigger we grow, the more capacity we have to gather in different functions. Why do we want to grow? The more we grow, the bigger, the better we can equip people. So why do we want to grow? Because the more we grow, the better capacity we have to reach our neighborhood for Jesus. That's why we want to grow. It's not rocket science. We want to grow because growing means we can do these things better. That's simple, isn't it? And growing will safeguard us about from becoming ingrown and huddled about our thing that Sunday, and we don't want anybody else in our little thing. We like it the way it is. The little thing here. God's just not pleased with that. I hate to tell you. God's just not pleased with that. God wants us to grow until we go back to Matthew chapter 16. What's a vibrant church looks like. It's these elements, and it's the fact that the church is vibrantly moving forward, taking enemy ground. That looks like a picture of growth to me. I don't want to do anything. We still want to, don't want to really reach anybody. If we start to grow, there'll be people that, look different. Or if we start to grow, maybe the music might this or maybe that. This is not about you. This is not about you. This is about you coming here to worship God and to hear from God. This is a God thing. This is not about what you get to like and enjoy, and I hope you enjoy it and I hope you like it. But at the end of the day, it isn't the point. The point is, when we leave today, did God like it? Did God enjoy it? Did God get glory from it? And that can happen even through you, whether or not you liked it, enjoyed it. Is everybody with me on that? Can everybody just, you know what I mean? You don't have to like it. You only have to make sure that your heart's ready so that God hears something that He likes. And if that happens, then in return, you'll like it. That I believe. That's the church. That's the church. So the good news is, I have no idea what I'm preaching next week. I have options, but I just haven't narrowed it down. Dolores, you with me? All right. The church. Can we all just get on that page? Amen. I love it. Next week we've got, what is it called? Casual, which I call Sunday. But casual Sunday next week. It's going to be great. A great opportunity to love people. A great opportunity to invite people. It's a great opportunity to gather next week. Casual Sunday. Occasionally people, so I won't, what I won't do is wear shorts, but Lucas feels comfortable doing that. I'm out. I'm going to wear shorts. So that means shorts, guys, you can wear shorts. I'm not going to do it, but that's fine. But it's casual Sunday next week. All right. Do you receive the word today? If so, say amen, if you will. Amen. All right. Lord, we love you today. You're a good God. You're blessed overall, blessed forever. And, Lord, we just pray that we'd be the kind of church, Lord, we pray that we'd have a vision of a church that's taking on enemy ground, that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against. What is the church operating in the fullness of the power of God? We pray that this is that church in this area. Lord, we stand against stagnation. We stand against the mentality that we can't grow. We stand against the idea that you don't want us to grow. Lord, we affirm now that you have a better plan. You have a plan in which this church is used in a way that expands the kingdom of God in an awesome way in this county and in this city. Lord, we want to be a part of that plan. We want this church to be a loving church that gives its, that goes out to the community, serves its community. We want to be a church that gathers together, loves one another. We want to be a church that equips. Lord, we want to be a vibrant church today, a church that you've promised that we could be. Help us, Lord, to be that kind of church. Forgive us where we've settled for second best. Lord, give us a passion here to make this work the best work that it's called to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.